Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of 410 Sports Talk. I am James Haskell, along with my co-host Glenn Martin and DK in the background running the show. We are here tonight brought to you by BetUS, which we're going to talk about a little bit tonight, of course, but we are here to talk about our Baltimore Ravens. Glenn, how are you doing on a Thursday night, my man?
Doing well. Excited to be one day closer to actual football. It's kind of hard to believe how quickly it's coming. I tell you, Jimbo, last few days, been consuming a lot of fantasy football information, preparing for our upcoming fantasy draft, trying to make sure I'm prepared. Because last year I loafed and did not have a good season, and I'm not letting that happen this year.
Yeah, you know what? I have been consuming zero, if I'm going to be honest with you. I shoot from the hip. I just shoot from the hip, you know, because I feel like usually in life, and this may not be the case for everyone, but for myself, my first instinct usually my best before fear and doubt sets in. So
there is something to having too much information.
Yeah, for sure. Cause you know, the analysis by paralysis
and
all that stuff, but no, I'm with you. I just completed my last run before Saturday.
You flipped them, but that's okay.
No, I'm with you.
You said analysis by paralysis.
Paralysis by analysis. Exactly. You know what I meant. All of you out there knew what I meant. All I wanted to say was that Saturday at Patapsco State Park, the Maryland Heat 50K, excited about it.
Yeah. It's
a real heavy trail. So I'm looking forward to it. Today was my last run, but tomorrow I'm going to keep my feet up and rock it out on Saturday.
My man.
That's right.
Don't get in his way, ladies and gents. He's going to be running by you. But we are here, of course, you know, to talk some Ravens football. And you know, our last show, the breaking news, the thing that kind of broke the internet was the report of Marlon Humphrey getting foot surgery yesterday and into a room that was already pretty thin and quite reliant on Marlon Humphrey, just got a whole lot thinner. And so the Ravens wasted no time. They do sign a veteran cornerback. They bring in Ronald Darby, who is an 8-year vet. He's 29 years old. It's a deal that's worth up to $3.2 million, but I think, you know, a good chunk of that is incentives. The thing that worries me, Jimbo, is he was playing well last year and then it tore his ACL in week 5.
Mm-hmm.
And so while I'm rooting for him, he's a local guy. He's a guy that grew up in Prince George's County.
Yep.
And was actually was teammates with former Raven Tavon Young. I just want, I mean, everybody knows they say it takes 2 years to fully recover. Now, of course, you can be back in the league in a year, but I got my doubts on whether or not this guy's going to be ready when they need him, which is right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But I don't know, maybe the Ravens were that desperate. And that's just the best that was available relative to the rest of the DBs that were out there and in a good enough shape. But I like to think they did enough of their homework to think, all right, we know we need him now. You know, what's the knee look like? Let's get a good look at it. He had to, of course, pass physical. Mm-hmm. I don't even know. We don't even know if that, at this point, if he's actually passed physical, right? It's always announced before the physical. And then we know about Ozzie Newsome's failed physical, guys.
Yeah.
Who was the, Ryan Grant?
The Colts. Ryan Grant. I think it's Ryan.
Grant. Ozzie was like, sorry, dude. I changed my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, we saw something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, but hopefully he's good to go. I mean, I guess at this point, though, if you think about it, Glenn, we'll say that Rock is there week 1. We'll say, but do we really know?
Well, reports are that I heard today he was doing some work on the side field, sprinting.
And did Demarion come back, too?
I didn't see that. That would be good to hear. I thought he had a much more... Hey, DK, is it me or does Jimbo sound loud?
I'm loud.
Okay. No, it's probably me. DK says it's not you.
No, it is me. I moved my dial. Is that better, Glenn?
Yeah, that's better. Maybe a little higher. Maybe you went a little too far.
How about that? I'm right in the middle.
Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good.
Cool. Yeah, what happens is my thing falls over and then it moves the dial. Anyway, it's a whole mess here. My whole office is an absolute disaster.
Don't let your thing fall over. Tom Votto wants to know, what does this signing say about Kyle Fuller? I mean, Kyle Fuller didn't he tear his knee early? Like he tore his knee in the final game of the preseason. Is that correct?
Yeah, I just think to me it means, yeah, you're right. So he's had more time to recover, but I think the Ravens, I think they're confident on the guys they have on the inside. And maybe at this point in his career, they don't see Kyle as an outside guy.
That's true.
They need more help on the outside is what I think it was.
That's a good point. They do have a lot, but he did get hurt playing outside.
Yeah, I mean, in a preseason game, but I don't think I don't know if they saw him out there, envision him out there in the regular season, but that is true. He did get hurt.
To Tom Votto's question, I think the answer is when we heard John asked about signing veteran corners at this point, you know, in training camp, and he said it honestly comes down to who can help us now, who's in shape. You know, if guys have been working and they show that they can help us now, then we'll, at this point, that's how slim the pickings are, that it's who's in shape, you know? Right. And so maybe Kyle Fuller's just wasn't able to get to the kind of shape that Darby was able to get to. Some guys heal faster than others. So it's very possible that, you know, he's got that. My dad always says he's got that Wolverine healing. You know, he always says he heals quick. Well, maybe Darby heals quick as well, because there's got to be some encouragement that he's going to be ready soon, because the theory is that Marlon will be ready after a few weeks. So if Darby is brought in, my assumption is he'll be ready right now to contribute.
Yeah, I mean, that for sure. I would agree with you 100%. Changing gears here. I just said 100%. Dang it, 6.5 minutes in.
Where's my
golly spot? Day? Wait, yeah. every time it's gotten further in the show, hasn't it, though?
That's progress.
That's right. You know? Making some progress here. But I do want to change gears because I don't want to keep them waiting. The Luke Jones is here with us tonight. Glenn, it's your turn, my man.
My turn?
It's your turn to do the WWE. Oh yeah, intro.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, Luke Jones, who is a Ravens and O's reporter for WNST, you can find all his work at BaltimorePositive.com, including his reactions from every day of training camp, because Luke Jones is out there every day of training camp, which is why he's with us here today. So, welcoming back to the show, right? Returning guest, Luke Jones. Appreciate you coming back. Luke, how you doing tonight?
Doing well. How are you guys? Sorry, had a little bit of a technology issue there, but glad to be with you.
No, yeah, no worries at all, man. We're so glad to have you here. If I'm not mistaken, last time we were chatting, you live kind of out there, right? You're pretty remote, right?
A little bit. I mean, I don't have the fastest internet, but I live in Southern York County. I could jog to the Mason-Dixon line, and you know, I'm from Baltimore originally, but yeah, right. I like my peace and quiet up Pennsylvania, but at just 45 minutes away from the Ravens facility in Owings Mills.
I just wanted to make sure you weren't on dial-up, Luke. That's what I was worried about.
I was wondering there for a second, but
yelling
no, I'm here.
Your family, get off the phone!
No, that was my dad yelling at me back in the day, because he needed to use the phone. But, you know, AOL and all that stuff, that was good times way back when.
Kids will never understand the struggle, man. Oh my
Not
god!
At all. Times.
That's awesome. Speaking of the struggle, we were talking about the cornerback room.
Yeah,
it's been pretty brutal. And so, I guess one of my questions I had was I wasn't exactly sure who returned today. Actually, before I finish this question, Luke, I also want to say this: it is insanely hot out there, and of all the media members, you find a way to keep cool in all the heat. You're always cool as a cucumber, man.
Got the aviators.
Yeah, you're just chilling. You're not overly sweating. You're not angry. You're just out there, man, doing your thing.
You know what? I'd like to say it's because I'm in tip-top shape, but it's my 15th training camp, and my first couple were actually at McDaniel in Westminster.
Uh-huh.
And I can tell you, these were the days of two-a-days. So they would have the big morning practice, and all the media would be out there for that. But then they'd have like the 2 o'clock special teams practice in the afternoon, and there was nowhere to find any shade. So you would just bake, and it'd be myself and maybe two other reporters out there. Nothing was happening, basically just to make sure no one was carted off with a torn ACL or anything like that. So if you can survive those hot days out at McDaniel College back in the day, as many fans fondly remember making that trip to Westminster, I like to think I can handle myself okay. But it hasn't been too bad this summer overall.
No, it hasn't. So I wanted to finish my question regarding the cornerback room as my light dies. I'm a real professional operation we got going on here.
My first day.
but my question was going to be, who's back right now? I heard some encouraging things about Rock, heard some encouraging things about Damarian, or not Damarian, excuse me,
Armor Davis.
Davis. Where are we as far as guys that are participating in some way, shape, or form in the cornerback room?
Yeah, so today, first and foremost, today, don't ask me for any highlights today. It was an extensive walkthrough. I mean, they literally walked, they stretched, and they did, offensive line did a little bit of positional work, but it was a walkthrough. But the good news was Jalen Arbor Davis was out there in uniform. He did take part in the walkthrough, so he is back. I'd seen him running on a side field after practice. I guess it was Tuesday or Wednesday. So that was a sign that he was really close, and John Harbaugh had said he was close. Arthur Millette is supposed to be very close. You know, I wouldn't be shocked to see him in the next couple of days. Wouldn't expect to see him in the game at this point because he was dealing with the hamstring. According to John Harbaugh, and I don't need to tell you guys, we don't need to get into it. You know, when he says something like close or very close or should be soon, there's a lot of wiggle room there. But Rock Ya-Sin also, I did see him running out on the field after practice on Wednesday. So Harbaugh a couple days ago said that wasn't quite as close as Armour Davis and Millette, but it sounds like he's close as well. So, you know, I wouldn't expect we're going to see any of these guys against Washington. I mean, I think you just have to be careful with, you know, talking about soft tissue injuries, or in the case of Ya-Sin, I mean, you know, we can debate whether Ronald Darby is going to be the number one for the time being or whether it's going to be Ya-Sin, but I think you'd have to lean Ya-Sin right now with Darby coming off of the ACL. So point is, he's really important to what they're doing. So as much as it's been frustrating for them, because all these guys have missed so much time on task as well. I mean, you know, even Ya-Sin, you know, he's still trying to learn the defense and get acclimated, and he's missed a couple weeks now with the knee. And, you know, he had had some ups and downs in the spring and summer, which I don't think was unheard of, you know, being in a new system, but so much time on task missed with so many of these young guys that they were hoping to develop. So it's been frustrating on that front, even before Marlon has foot surgery on Wednesday. But the good news is it does seem as though those individuals, you know, in the case of Armour Davis, he was back today. In the case of the other two, I do expect them back in the coming days. And you mentioned Damarian Williams in passing. Of course, we know he had ankle surgery. He's not going to be back till October. So yeah. Unfortunate, because he's someone, I think, who could have factored into that nickel spot that is still up for grabs as well. So a lot of moving parts, a lot of injuries. Of course, the Darby signing today. But, you know, I'm sure I'm not alone in sharing some trepidation and some concern with this cornerback group. I mean, there's no replacing Marlon Humphrey, even if you're going to get him back, you know, week three, week four, week five, somewhere in that neighborhood. We'll see how it goes. But you're just not replacing a guy like that because, well, that's why you're paying him almost $20 million a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And man, I'm getting about as sick and tired of foot injuries because, I mean, we've seen it with Rashad Bateman. Maybe the prognosis or the expectation is that Marlon will be back at some point in the early part of the season. Well, Bateman's supposed to have been back, and we see these foot injuries can certainly linger. And to your point about the preseason, Luke, the scary thing is, like, all these other positions, you can go, all right, well, we're not playing this guy, and that guy. Mm-hmm. But someone has to play corner for these next two preseason games, and right now they can't afford to lose their worst guy at corner. So it's like, someone's got to play, and they can't afford to even lose. They can't lose anyone at this point.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what's kind of wild. I mean, you look at the preseason opener, you had Kevon Seymour, who, look, is a great guy. He's had a really nice camp. You know, I think he's someone that was definitely on the bubble for me at best going into camp. And, you know, by all accounts, you know, he's going to make the roster. His special teams ability is understood, but he's had a nice camp. But you had him, and you had Brandon Stevens, who was practicing at safety all spring and at the beginning of training camp. And they're your two outside corners. Mm-hmm. So you're in this position. And now with Darby being in the picture, you know, we'll see. I mean, what's his health? You know, what's he looking like physically? Guys coming back from ACLs are a little more susceptible to hamstrings and other soft tissue injuries. So, you know, I think he's about as good as you could reasonably expect to do, barring trading something of real value to some corner that may or may not be available. But I think where you're stuck here is if guys like Brandon Stevens and Kevon Seymour are going to have to play, and I'm not saying they'll have to play week one, but we just don't know how this is all going to shake out. You'd like to get them reps, but at the same time, to your point, you can't afford to lose those guys. So it really is a catch 22 in that way. And, it's certainly not an enviable position to be in if you're the Ravens. You know, again, the good news is, and Glenn, you make a good point, because, you know, with Marlon Humphrey, yes, you want him back. And, you know, the indication, you know, this isn't a Liz Frank injury or anything, you know, serious like that, which, you know, we saw what Jimmy Smith for most of his career deal with the you know, lingering effects of that all the way back in 2014. But it is a foot injury. And I mean, foot injuries are bad for any football player, but wide receivers and corners, you know, where change of direction is just so dramatic and you're planting your foot so many times. It is one of those cases where, yeah, if there was some tangible, plausible way for him to be back week two to go to Cincinnati and play, yeah, you'd love that. But at the same time, if it's week four or week five for his foot to really be healthy and then you're not worrying about it the rest of the year, I think you have to err on the side of caution. So that's just where they are right now. And I mean, it's not ideal. And really for me, it's, you know, you need your other superstars and your other position groups. And oh yeah, the offensive side of the ball where they've pumped a lot of resources into their passing game. I think you're just going to need those areas to really step up. You know, I think guys like Yassine, hopefully a healthy Ronald Darby, who's had a really nice career. Although I'll point out, you know, that last year wasn't the first time he's dealt with injuries. So that's you know, something where you take some pause, but you just have to be realistic with this cornerback group. The good news is in Mike McDonald's offense, which is what much more zone oriented. And I think it's a case where you're not necessarily asking your corners to be out on an island in the way that Wink Martindale would with Marlon Humphrey and Amarcus Peters from 3 years ago, which, hey, you'll sign up for that. Right. Yeah. So you'll sign up with that for that. But this is definitely a system, I think, that can protect their corners a little bit better. But it's still going to be a case of, I think we have to be realistic and thinking, okay, Ravens might not be shutting everyone down the first 3, 4, or 5 weeks of the season. And Mike McDonald even addressed that today indirectly in saying, look, you know, there are certain things I'd like to install and things for us to work on, but I'm also recognizing where we are with, you know, our health situation in the secondary and depending on guys that have either, you know, been injured or guys that aren't used to playing as much as they're playing. So I think it's very much going to be a case of, you know, kind of just hold down the fort, you know, try to play high floor kind of football, so to speak, you know, just don't get torched, which I'm not saying that they will. And the good news is other than Cincinnati in week two, you're not really looking at a murderer's row of quarterbacks very early in the season, but it's definitely going to be an adjustment. And I think they'll probably have to be a little more conservative, but you know, hey, you've got other superstars and you've got other position groups like their two safeties, for example, where their two inside linebackers, you know, those guys need to step up and be at their very best because you're not going to get that tip top play at cornerback at this point. At least I'm not expecting that.
Yeah. I mean, I think just like you said, ultimately the defense can do a lot by just winning their matchups where they're supposed to win. Right. Like, because as a unit, that's the cool thing about defense. I think as a unit, you can still be prosperous if you win where you're supposed to win, right? Even if there are other position parts of your unit that aren't as strong. But one of the guys I wanted to ask about staying in the defensive back room is Ardarius Washington. I feel like he's gotten some good run. He's kind of been all around the football. Early on in camp, I felt like he was a bit more around the football. But ultimately, I feel like he looks bigger. He looks faster. Looks like he belongs. I saw the hit that he laid on the tight end yesterday. That got everybody a little excited. But you know, what's been your impressions of him so far? It seems like he's played a lot in the slot from what I've been able to kind of, gather, but, what's been your thoughts and impressions of Ardarius Washington?
Yeah, he's seen a lot of run at that slot spot. And it's interesting because you think of Kyle Hamilton kind of being the opposite in terms of size, right? I mean, Kyle Hamilton's this 6'4", 220-pound genetic freak. Who was playing nickel and really settled that position down for them the second half of last year, where, you know, early on they were trying, you know, they had Damarian Williams and some other options that just weren't working out as well. But, you know, they're trying, and I still wouldn't be shocked if we see Hamilton back at the nickel, at least in certain situations. But I think they're really trying to get him focused and settled in at one of those starting safety spots, you know, with Chuck Clark, of course, no longer being in the picture. But in the case of Ardarius Washington, he's played a lot there. I said he's the opposite because he's 5'8", 177 pounds, and that's what he's listed as. I even asked Mike McDonald today about Ardarius Washington, and you know, he echoed some of what you just said, and I think he's had a nice summer. I just think it's tough because, you know, you think about the evolution of how the slot position is used in the NFL. I mean, just look at how the Ravens, you know, I mean, Mark Andrews has been their slot receiver, you know, for years now. So if you
Mike Evans in Tampa.
Right, right. I mean, if you run into a team who has that kind of guy, I mean, is Ardarius Washington really going to match up there? So my point is not that I don't think he can be in that picture, but is he going to be a 55 snap a game kind of, you know, and that's what your nickel defense is, your base defense in this day and age. I mean, that's obvious with the way teams like to throw. So I think there can be a place for our Darius Washington in that mix. And so much of it's going to be matchup oriented. If you are going up against a team that tends to play a smaller guy at the slot, you know, I think he's shown some ability to blitz from that position, which we know, you know, going back to the days of Wink, but also continuing with Mike McDonald, you know, they won't blitz as frequently as they used to, but they'll certainly send just about anyone on any given play. So I think he can factor in there. But again, the size, I think it's tough to kind of project him out to be that guy that is going to play 50 snaps a week at the slot, because, you know, you run into some of those bigger matchups, you know, whether it's a receiver, a tight end that moves out like a Mark Andrews. And not every team has that, of course. I understand that. But I think he's definitely been an interesting name. And, you know, as much as there's angst about corner, for me, even going back to, you know, long before Marlon Humphrey got hurt or even Yassin got hurt, I looked at their outside corner depth, and that's where my uneasiness has been a little bit more. I think with the way that they use safeties at the slot last year with Hamilton, you know, Brandon Stevens was practicing there in the spring. I think they have enough options there that I'm not saying that's going to be one of their best positions, but I think you have enough guys there. Arthur Millette, of course, who I mentioned a few minutes ago. So they have options there, but, you know, my concern is still much more on the outside. And, you know, one, Yassin coming back, fine. You know, I expect he's going to come back here very soon, but how does he look? How does Ronald Darby look in the meantime? You know, Jalen Armour Davis looks the part at times, but he was a fourth round pick because he couldn't stay healthy at Alabama. So, and we've seen that continue at the next level. I think a guy that's, you know, he's forgotten now because he's expected to miss the season. I think they like Trayvon Mullen. He was someone who was getting quite a bit of run as a second team outside corner back in the spring, and unfortunately had the toe injury. So it's just, you guys know, I don't need to tell you. I mean, it tends to be one of those situations, and it's been unfortunate for the Ravens each of the last 3 years now. I mean, you go back to left tackle 2 years ago with Stanley, and he ended up not being right, and Villanueva wasn't up to snuff as far as handling that anymore. Last year it was wide receiver, where they were clearly light on paper, and then you lose Bateman. So this year, you know, outside linebacker or outside corner was the position where it's like they don't have a whole lot of margin for error here. And my goodness, other than Lamar Jackson, Marlon Humphrey's the guy you can least afford to lose on this roster right now. And fortunately, not a season-ending injury, but certainly an injury where he's going to miss some time. So it's just kind of where they are right now. So, you know, I always think back to something Buck Showalter once said, talking about bench guys and depth players. And he always said there's depth, which those are guys you generally can count on. And there's inventory, which are bodies, and they might have potential, but you still don't know a whole lot about them. And unfortunately, the Ravens have way more inventory than depth right now, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. Very well said there. I want to switch gears a little bit and ask you something that's had me curious, Luke, and I want to get your take. And again, we have Luke on, who covers the Ravens and the Orioles for WNST, and you can find his work over at BaltimorePositive.com. I remember in the start of training camp, we saw the disappearance of the arm sleeve or the play call thing.
The wristband,
The wristband, there you go, that the quarterbacks use. And we heard Monken speak to, you know, he thinks that it's valuable that the quarterback knows the offense and terminology just as good as him, so he can absorb it and regurgitate it back to the rest of those players. But then now we've seen the return of the wristband. So my question to you is, Luke, is this a sign of the quarterbacks aren't, you know, progressing or picking up the offense like he was hoping? Or do you think this was always part of the plan to not introduce it initially, but then introduce it later on in camp?
I think that's a fair question. It's an interesting question. I mean, full disclosure, I wasn't someone that was hot and bothered about that whole idea. I mean, Tom Brady wore a wristband his whole career. So, you know, if Lamar Jackson has to wear a wristband, I'm not worried about it, you know, comparing him to the greatest quarterback of all time. But I do think there's something to the idea of what you just said. And Todd Monken talked about this early in camp. When you're in a practice setting, when you're still learning all the verbiage, and think about it, there was so much hand-wringing over the lack of pace to this offense and clock management under Greg Roman, and how much of it was Roman getting the play in too late, how much of it was maybe Lamar not relaying it as quickly. And again, that's conjecture. We don't really know the whole story with that, but collectively, it was a problem. And, you know, that's stating the obvious with how many delay of games and how many times they just were so late. So I think whether that was something deliberate that John Harbaugh wanted or Todd Monken just said it, you know, at face value, what you just said, Glenn, that, you know, just, you know, this idea of really trying to learn it, you know, take away the wristband and really learn those words by heart that you can just recite that very quickly. So he never said, you know, there was never a thought that, oh, the wristband won't come back or anything like that. It was just at that point in camp. So I'm inclined to think that I wouldn't read too much into the fact that the wristbands come back. You know, I was a teacher a long time ago, and there's different types of intelligences where some people are more visual learners, some people are more auditory processors. I am someone that written directions, I do great. But if I ask someone for directions and I just have to listen and try to remember it in my head, I don't do quite as well with that. So I would be a wristband guy, basically, is what I'm saying, if I were a quarterback. So I think overall, it's probably much ado about nothing in a big picture sense. But I do think there was probably something to the idea of early in camp, having him and the other quarterbacks kind of go through that without, you know, without the training wheel, so to speak, just to see if you can master some of the playbook a little more quickly. And then you still have it there on game days. And, you know, it's not going to hurt anything. Again, if Tom Brady could wear a wristband his whole career, I have no concern whatsoever about Lamar Jackson or any other quarterback in today's game wearing it. But it was interesting to kind of see how that played out here over these last few weeks.
Yeah. Jimbo, quickly, when I try and think, Luke, every time I try and think, nothing happens. I don't, it's like the Three Stooges said. I keep trying to think, but nothing happens. I mean, that's how I go when I try and put the old thinking cap on.
Glenn just sees the word think fly by. Pokes at it.
Like a banner.
Being in one ear and out the other, right?
Yeah.
It pops, all these little baby thinks come out, right? Just the word think. That's awesome. No, I wanted to ask a question regarding the running back room. I think we'll end up getting back to the quarterbacks. But I want to talk about the running backs because Glenn is going out on somewhat of a limb here.
Oh, running backs?
Yeah, running backs. Yeah,
tell me if I'm crazy, Luke, or if I'm reading into some stuff because everyone keeps telling me I'm nuts.
Yeah, go ahead, Glenn.
Okay, all right, look.
Let's hear it.
Okay, the first quarter of the preseason game, we see Justice Hill. We don't see Gus Edwards till the second quarter. And then we see quite a bit of Gus Edwards in the second quarter. I think 5 total touches. And then I go out to camp and I see an awful lot of Justice Hill running with the first team. And the assumption heading into camp was, oh, with JK doing his hold in thing, it's Gus, then it's JK. But I'm starting to wonder if Todd Monken is like, that was under the old offense. This is my offense. And I like what I'm seeing from Justice. And everything we saw from Justice last year, he looked like a different player after coming off the injury. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was running with much more aggression, physicality. His burst seemed back. Do you think that's a possibility if JK, you know, for whatever reason, whether he doesn't, you know, have enough time to get up to speed, do you think it's out of the realm of possibility that Justice Hill could beat Gus Edwards for RB1 if it's just between those two?
Yeah, I don't think that's crazy at all. I think from this standpoint, and look, I'm a big Gus Edwards guy. Let's be clear about that. But this is a much different offense. I think we're going to be wondering, and look, I'm not going to make any bold predictions here, but I definitely wonder how involved Gus Edwards will be compared to him and J.K. Dobbins. You know, go back to like 2020 even. You know, last year was weird because both those guys are coming back from injuries. But as they phased out Mark Ingram, you know, Dobbins and Gus Edwards were both getting plenty of touches, you know, in that timeshare. You know, but I don't think we're going to see Gus Edwards quite in that same capacity. Now, let's be clear. Goal line, 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1 situations, I still want Gus Edwards toting the rock in those situations, and I don't think that's going to change. But otherwise, you do have an offense that's much more about space now. There's going to be a lot more 11 personnel, a lot more 3-wide sets. And I think the short-term answer, when we saw Justice Hill doing a lot of these things in the spring and early summer, and even, you know, until recently, because Dobbins just came back the last few days, is his skill set's much similar, much more similar to J.K. Dobbins than Gus Edwards, right? So if you're trying to practice, if you're trying to get a feel for what your offensive identity is primarily going to be, Justice Hill simulates J.K. Dobbins much better in that way. But I also think Justice Hill, because he is a space player, because he is someone who let's face it, they re-signed him, and I was kind of surprised when they re-signed him at the start of free agency. I just kind of figured, you know, your number three running back, considering all the needs they had at that time, including what the heck was going to happen with their franchise quarterback at that moment in time. You know, I wasn't so sure about it, but you know, I get the sense that Todd Monken likes Justice Hill, and I don't think that's going to be a huge role because I do think it's going to be Dobbins, and you know, I still think Gus Edwards is going to have a presence there, and you know, short yardage situations like that. But I would not at all be surprised if Justice Hill is involved in this offense a little bit more. And you know, we saw it last year. You know, he did some nice things for them early on when they were kind of searching, and they, you know, health wise, they weren't, you know, the backfield. Dobbins wasn't right. You know, he was kind of back and looked okay at times. And, you know, Gus Edwards, you know, was kind of in and out at that point. You know, Justice Hill, you know, gave them a spark. Now, unfortunately, he's also been a guy who's had nagging injuries. So that's something to keep in mind. But yeah, laying out the scenario that you just presented, Glenn, where if Dobbins weren't to be ready for some reason, or you know, heaven forbid, he tweaks a hamstring or something like that at some point in time, I'd be inclined to think that it wouldn't just mean that Gus Edwards just becomes the primary back. I think you could see Justice Hill, at least with, you know, receiving elements and some of those other things where it would kind of cut into, you know, what Gus Edwards would do, you know, just being the quote unquote RB1. So I'm very intrigued by that. And I even mentioned it a few days ago that even if, you know, assuming Dobbins, you know, he's going to be the number one, you know, whatever that looks like, however many carries that is under Todd Monken, and assuming Edwards is still your goal line and short yardage back, I still wouldn't be shocked to see Justice Hill involved and, you know, catching a couple passes out of the backfield. And, you know, the other factor to mention here, and this goes all the way back to Mark Ingram, who's going to be best in pass protection. The Ravens relied on Patrick Ricard to do that a lot. And I'm guessing they don't want to do that anymore. That's where I would even throw out, even though I'm not convinced he's making the 53-man roster, but Melvin Gordon's someone who's looked pretty good in blitz pickup in some of their drills. So
yeah,
you know, I'm very intrigued, Glenn. And again, it's not to bury Gus Edwards, but it's just the reality of this is a different offense. And I think I didn't finish my thought earlier because I mentioned someone else. I'm not sure how much we're going to see Patrick Ricard on the field, quite frankly. And if we do, I think it's going to be much more as an inline tight end, which granted he had done a lot of since Nick Boyle got hurt 2 years ago. But this is a different offense, and I would not at all be shocked to see Justice Hill a little more involved than you would have expected, you know, if this were just running it back with Greg Roman's offense.
Well, I'll tell you what, you can bury him and he will rise from the ashes like a phoenix. Let me tell you what, I'm a big Gus Edwards guy. So.
I am too. I love Gus. Yeah.
Hey, let's not make it look like I'm not a Gus guy.
No, Greg is a Gus guy. It's true.
Preseason, and then we've been to four practices. I've seen a lot of Justice with the ones.
This is the only thing I'll say in favor of Gus here is that every year he seems to add a wrinkle to his game. I think that's pretty consistent. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I would say too, everyone
drops bars.
Yeah, it's true. You
know, so can do that.
The other thing I would say too is that I think if you were to give some truth serum to a defensive back, while it's probably not fun to face a J.K. Dobbins or a guy that's very twitchy like Justice Hill as a space guy in space, I'm pretty sure they would prefer that matchup on in late December, early January, than Gus Edwards with 10 yards and it's just you and him. That's a scary proposition. I'm just making a business decision there.
It's true. Hey, they're all good players. Right.
I'll throw this out. When I was surprised he played in the preseason opener. I just, you know, that was kind of the one guy that stood out like a sore thumb compared to everyone else that was rested. Because, I mean, you know what you have with Gus Edwards at this point. I will point out a lot of his playing time, he played in that 2-minute drill at the end of the first half. And, you know, while I certainly don't expect that to be his primary role, he has, you know, he has shown some ability, improved ability as a receiver out of the backfield. Now, again, if you're going to ask who Lamar Jackson's going to throw to out of the backfield, J.K. Dobbins, Justice Hill, and quite frankly, probably Zay Flowers with gadget plays. I think you're going to see him kind of take Duvernay's place in that aspect of the times when the Ravens would try that in the past. But, you know, you mentioned another wrinkle, and hey, Gus Edwards sees what's going on, just like everyone else with this offense. I think it's part of why Patrick Ricard probably thought, hey, I better start thinking about maybe moving the offensive line eventually, because this isn't going to be an offense where a fullback's on the field for 45 plays a game. It's just not. Right.
That experiment seems to be over, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, he's back to fullback and tight end. And really, I mean, look, I'll be the first to admit, you know, we get to this point in training camp, I'm ready for the season to start. And look, observations are fun, and I appreciate everyone who checks out my 12 Ravens thoughts at BaltimorePositive.com. But guys, I've done this for 15 years, covering 15 different training camps. So much of what we talk about during camp really doesn't end up mattering that much in the big picture. Most of what you think going into camp, there might be a couple surprises. You hope not to have too many injuries, but you know, beyond that, these guys are just getting ready. That's why, you know, the reps every day and the one-on-ones and all that stuff's fun, but it really doesn't mean too much in the big picture. So, you know, in the case of where we are with the Ravens at this point, it's, you know, I'm kind of ready to let's get to the games that actually matter.
And that's exactly why Gus is going to have 700 yards and average 5 carry. Like,
what he does every year, right?
Yeah, he does every year.
It's like waking up out of bed. It's just how it goes.
Sure.
But yeah, no, Glenn, if you have another question. Yeah,
I got
a question. Actually, sorry, I do have one more. I apologize. I gave it to you.
And then you took it right back.
What about Keaton Mitchell? I forgot to ask. I didn't want to move on from the running back, so I'll ask, because we've both been impressed by him.
Oh, yeah.
And they're using him in a lot of ways, Glenn pointed out last night, you know, in special teams, obviously as a back. He seems to be running really hard. A lot of people are liking him. He's getting a lot of momentum from the fans. What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I mean, I think you – to me, the key point that you brought up, and look, he's looked good as a running back, and you know, he certainly has a speed, and that was the thing that jumped out about him as a rookie free agent when they signed him. But he's very involved in special teams, and no, I don't think he's supplanting Duvernay as the kick returner, at least not in week one or, you know, over the bulk of the season. But he's getting work as a punt gunner. He was on the first team kickoff team on Saturday night, and I tell reporters and I tell fans all the time, if you want to look and see where some of these bubble guys stand, go look and see who's playing special teams in the first and second quarter. And that's not foolproof. I'm not saying that's gospel, but it's usually a good indicator that a guy is getting some serious consideration. And I think Keaton Mitchell is, you know, I just mentioned Melvin Gordon, my roster prediction that I did after the preseason opener. And look, I'm wrong on these things all the time, so don't put too much stock into it, but I actually had Mitchell making my 53 over Melvin Gordon just because of that special teams presence. And because, let's call a spade, J.K. Dobbins, free agent after this year, the situation that played out, you know, I'd be lying to you if I think things were all kumbaya behind the scenes. I think everyone's being, you know, everyone's playing nice, and I don't think it's going to be an issue as it pertains to the field, but it's going to be a free agent. Gus Edwards, last year of his contract. So, you know, you have Justice Hill under contract for one more year, but I think Keaton Mitchell is someone that I don't expect to be heavily involved. And look, if he makes the team, he might be a healthy scratch most weeks. But if he can have a special teams presence, and if he can be someone that, you know, practices hard, gives him a good look, and all those types of things, I think he could be someone that they have an eye toward the future with in wanting to hold on to him. And yeah, we'll see how it plays out. You know, I think there are always two or three rookie free agents that everyone gets excited about, and all these guys that people were worried will pass through waivers. And more often than not, they do. So I don't want to say that he's definitely going to make the team, or you know, he's certainly on my bubble right now. But he's got a skill set that John Harbaugh, even unprompted once or twice over the course of the last few weeks, has mentioned him in passing. And usually that's a pretty good sign. And, you know, I think that's someone that is, he's of all their rookie free agents, he's probably the guy who has the best chance right now. A couple other guys you could mention maybe that have a small chance, but he's my guy right now. If you're asking me to pick a rookie free agent to make the 53, I think it's him.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Glenn, it's officially yours.
Thank you. Are you sure? All right.
Sure.
Yeah. Go ahead, Glenn. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah. No, when camp first started with all the new talent added to the wide receiver room, to me, it looked like there was five locks as camp started. You know, you got Flowers, OBJ, Bateman, Devin Duvernay, and who am I forgetting?
Nelson Aguilar.
Mm-hmm. Those are five locks. So typically they keep six. So to me, it looked like a whole lot of guys competing for just one spot. We saw the disappointing play of James Proche when given the opportunity to return the punt, ripped from his hands. I've really liked what I've seen from Tariq Black all camp. I thought he's made plays pretty much every time he's been given the opportunity. Sean Ryan had a big game in preseason week one. But to me, I'm ready to call this over. Tylan Wallace, to me, has won the sixth receiver job. Every time I see this guy, he's making plays, whether it's one-on-one, 7-on-7, 11-on-11, or even in the preseason game where he made that fantastic back shoulder touchdown catch. every time I see this guy, he's making plays. He's good on teams. Look, what do you look at the wide receiver six spot? Do you think Tylan Wallace? Do you agree with me, or am I crazy? Think Tylan Wallace has almost locked this job up?
I mean, first of all, we can't totally assume that they're going to keep six wide receivers, right? I mean, you're still talking about a team that still has Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely, you know. So, yeah. While they're going to play more three wide sets, you know, I don't think we're going to see a whole lot of four and five wide receiver sets, but. It's really the last point you just made. And I agree. He's had a nice camp. He's been someone who has certainly flashed more than he had in the past as a wide receiver, which his first 2 years were pretty underwhelming considering some of the excitement about getting him in the fourth round 2 years ago. But it's his special teams ability. So, I mean, it comes down to this. I mean, I agree with you about Tariq Black. I agree with you about Sean Ryan. I really don't think those are guys that are going to be claimed off waivers. I think those are the kind of guys you can get to your practice squad. And I think those two would be perfectly fine candidates to be on the practice squad. But I think you look at Tylan Wallace, and to me, I look at him kind of compared to Laquon Treadwell and James Proche. Let's just kind of throw those three guys out there. Tylan Wallace has another year of team control. You know, he has one more year in his rookie contract. Whenever you're talking about back end of the roster guys, when you're talking about a year three rookie contract guy compared to a final year rookie contract guy, if it's close, they're going to go with the guy that they have the extra year of team control, whether he makes the team next year or not. They just want to have that flexibility. They don't have to worry about re-signing him. So you have that. He's a better special teams player than James Proche. Laquon Treadwell's dabbled in some special teams over the last few years as he's kind of been all over the place, but you know, he hasn't really made a huge mark in that way. Tylan Wallace is one of their best special teams players. And I know that's not an exciting or interesting way to talk about a young wide receiver. And frankly, that's not why they drafted him in the fourth round. You know, there was, I think, a lot more excitement about him being able to contribute in that way. But he has shown some improvement as a receiver. But I think for me, it's really about his special teams prowess. And I think if they're keeping a six wide receiver, yeah, I think it's him. And I think he's separated quite a bit from Proche, who, you know, I don't want to pile on the guy at this point. I just think his time's kind of up at this point, barring a couple injuries. And look, who knows with Bateman's foot? I mean, they're still slow playing him, so you never know, you know. And James Proche could wind up on the practice squad. You know, I mean, he's a sixth round pick. Is he going to be in high demand to land elsewhere? So, I think it's Tylan Wallace. But I think it's much more about his special teams ability. But I agree with you. And certainly had a pretty touchdown catch against Philadelphia in the preseason opener. But he's another one of those guys. Go look, he's on every phase of special teams and does a really nice job for them in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. That's I think I agree with Glenn, and I'm interested to see. I mean, ultimately, it's a numbers game, right? Like, how much run is he going to get at wide receiver? But interested to see with an offense like Monken to see what kind of play he gets and if we can at least get some of what people were excited about when he got drafted. You know, he seems to have good hands, seems to be a nice route runner. I think
I like the punch. I like that he threw the first punch against that command. That shows me something. You know what I mean? It does. It shows, because some of these guys, they come up here and they get scared, like, of the competition, the bright light. I mean, there's a lot. I like that he's swinging out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he definitely showed some swagger there. But, you know, James, to what you just said, that's where it's tough. I mean, how much is Devin Duvernay going to play in this offense?
Yeah.
I'd say this, and look, I'm not down on Duvernay, but I think you just look at the numbers at this point. I mean, Beckham's going to be on the field, and maybe not every single play, but he's certainly going to be out there most of the time. Zay Flowers going to be out there a ton. You know, Bateman, if the foot is 100% right, is going to be out there a lot. And, oh, yeah, you still have Mark Andrews, who isn't going to come off the field and is basically a wide receiver, if we're calling a spade a spade. So, I don't think Duvernay is going to be out there. I think Aguilar has outplayed Duvernay. And I wasn't a big fan of the Aguilar signing at the time, because at that point, it's like, they're not signing this guy to be their number two wide receiver, their number one wide receiver. But when they having since signed Beckham and drafted Zay Flowers, you can do a lot worse than Aguilar as your number four wide receiver, which is where he is right now. And he's had a solid camp, despite the fact we know his history of drops. So I think in the case of Duvernay and Wallace, you know, or any other wide receiver that might make the team behind those four guys. Maybe I'm completely wrong here. Maybe Tariq Black is that guy. Who knows? I just don't know if there's going to be a whole lot of opportunities. Yeah. But Bateman's injury history, Odell Beckham Jr.'s injury history.
From Bateman.
And although Zay Flowers is so tough for his size, he is 5'9", and you know, smaller guys do tend to get injured a little more frequently. So the point is, they do need some depth, and they certainly are in a better position with their wide receiver group. Where is this group going to rank in the NFL? I don't know. I'm not ready to say it's a top five or even top 10, but for the first time in a long time, I do feel like it's a very legitimate top half of the NFL, which, look, anyone listening right now, wow, that's a really low bar. But if you've been a Baltimore Ravens fan, that's not really a low bar. That just shows that they have come a long way, and they have made the investments at that position. And they certainly have a higher ceiling in that regard than they have in a long time. And that's why guys like Duvernay and Wallace, who just a year or two ago were being talked about in very exciting, you know, potentially, high ceiling kind of terms. And, you know, they've kind of just fallen by the wayside, at least in terms of the offense, although certainly both those guys factor heavily as special teams players.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what is really funny. Glenn and I were talking about this yesterday, is that everyone's worried about how Mark Andrews is getting the football. And if you just go to practice and watch one practice, anytime anything unscripted, impromptu happens, Lamar goes to one guy and one guy only. And it's not a secret.
I
think we saw that one drive. He had four consecutive passes thrown his way and like three were catches. I mean, he's just ridiculous. And their connection is very deep. You know, I have a son who's about to be two. So we're watching, unfortunately, a decent amount of Disney movies when it's like crazy hot outside. So he's into Toy Story right now. And I tried
to. So is my niece.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So I tried to explain to my wife that Lamar is Andy. He's got all these new toys, but Mark Andrews is Woody.
That's his guy. Yeah, that's his number one.
That's what it is, you know?
It is. And this is what's been funny about the summer and what you just said. And look, the one area, Lamar and Mark Andrews, their ability to play playground ball, you know, their improbability. Mm-hmm. I am intrigued to see how that's going to fit within the structure of how Todd Monken likes things done. Because I do think there were times where, look, you weren't going to tell those guys not to do it because, my goodness, it works so often. But there were certainly plays where maybe they wouldn't make a play and maybe that gums something else up in terms of route spacing and concepts, things like that. But the point is, look, Zay Flowers looks awesome in all these one-on-ones. Odell Beckham has had a better camp and has practiced more than I thought he would have. Mm-hmm. How all that translates to the regular season remains to be seen. But to your point, James, we know what Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews looks like, whether it's structure or out of structure. And Andrews is such a matchup nightmare. We were talking about our Darius Washington playing the nickel 10 minutes ago. He is such a matchup problem for, I mean, who are you going to put? A linebacker who can't run with him.
Right.
A corner is too small. A safety who's going to be probably not, you know, isn't big enough or fast enough.
They just need Kyle Hamilton, Luke. That's all.
Right, exactly.
Needs Kyle Hamilton.
And I'll say this. Kyle Hamilton competes better against Mark Andrews than anyone in practice, and he still loses most of the time. Yep. So it just speaks to it. So projecting out what this passing game is going to look like, how many yards Lamar is going to throw for, how many yards OBJ is going to have, is Zay Flowers going to be in the Offensive Rookie of the Year mix? These are all fun things to talk about in July and August, and that's fine. But if you still want to ask me who I think is going to be their leading receiver, who I would put my money on, and I'm not a gambling man, let's be clear, I'm not going to go away from Mark Andrews. Until we see otherwise, until we see Beckham healthy for a full 17 games, until we see Zay Flowers do what he's done on one-on-ones against teams, you know, starting defenses. So, you know, I think we still kind of come back to, you know, let's not overthink this thing. And Todd Monken's not an idiot. You could say what you want about Greg Roman's offense and how it had been backsliding the last couple of years. And, you know, I think they definitely needed to make the change. I was on board with that, even though I think there were a lot of factors that kind of led to what happened the last couple of years. But that's something that was not broken in that offense whatsoever. So,
no.
Yeah, he's still going to be a massive part of what they do. And when it all breaks down, Jackson's looking at number 89, no doubt about it.
Now, I do have one question. You've been doing this for 15 years. Outside of maybe Lamar Jackson, is there another guy who is – another rookie who's generated the buzz? I mean, Zay Flowers is all over. It's not very often as Ravens fans that, I mean, I don't think this has ever happened. I know it's never happened that a wide receiver for the Ravens is being talked about on Good Morning Football. Yeah. It's talked about on NFL Network.
He's just sitting down with Josina. He was sitting down with Josina.
This is unheard of if you're a Ravens fan, right? So am I
a skill position Raven rookie?
You mean you weren't excited about Matt Elam? you know what? It's interesting. And quarterbacks, I mean, that's just a totally different animal. So, right. Yeah, Joe Flacco in 08 and Lamar Jackson in 2018. I think you're right about that. The one thing I'll say, and look, I am high on Zay Flowers. I'm as impressed as anyone else. What? And this is an observation. This is not a criticism because I don't know what their script is in terms of practice when they go in the full team. For all of the domination we've seen in one-on-ones, and let's be clear, one-on-one drills are so heavily skewed towards the offense, towards the receiver. You know, it's really not notable when the receiver wins. It's more notable when the defender wins those drills. But he's looked great. He hasn't made a ton of plays in 11-on-11. Now, in the preseason opener, he drew two flags, and there you go. Joe Flacco to Torrey Smith worked beautifully in that regard for a long time. At times, it was the only part of their passing game that worked really well. But that's the only – my only element of Zay Flowers pumping the brakes a little bit is that hasn't shown up quite as much in full team. Now, it might just be that he's not the primary option. You know, he's not going to be the primary option on a lot of their plays, and that makes sense when – we just talked about Mark Andrews and you have Odell Beckham. So it doesn't mean he's not going to get his, but that's where I just personally, I'm going to pump the brakes just a little. Be excited. Excited. Yeah. But, you know, you still have to see it. And he's a rookie, right? And look, I think he's got terrific ability. And I will say this, whether we're talking about some players unprompted on the record and even talking to some people in the organization off the record, there's excitement about him. I mean, there definitely is. So
the smile, the personality, it's more than just what he's doing on the field, is it not? Like, that smile is so contagious.
There's definitely an element to that. And, I mean, he's got a good story, comes from a big family. You know, he's gone through some rough things in his life. And, I mean, you know, he played at Boston College. You know,
right.
Joe Ortiz, who's in charge of Ravens scouting and all that, does a great job with that. He did a session with the media just a few days after the draft. And he put on some Zay Flowers tape and went through it. And the thing that was so striking was how lousy for lack of a better term, the quarterback situation was at Boston College. And yet this kid still made the plays that he made and made the adjustments he did. So I want to be clear. When I'm saying pump the brakes, that doesn't mean I don't think he's going to be a big part of what they do. And if he ends up being Offensive Rookie of the Year, you know, I'll be surprised in the sense that Mark Andrews and Lamar's running ability and not expecting this team to just become pass happy and heavy overnight. I'd be surprised in that way, but not because of his skill set and what, you know, the athleticism, the change of direction, the advanced route running that you see from someone that's so young. So, you know, I think there's a lot of excitement there. And, you know, to answer your question though, as far as rookie hype, I mean, it's tough to, you know, even in the case of Joe Flacco, he wasn't expected to be the starter until Kyle Bowler got hurt and Troy Smith got sick, and boom, Flacco was starting week one, and the rest was history in 08. And in the case of Lamar, as much as there was intrigue, Flacco was the guy to start the year. So even that was tempered to a point because it was fun to watch, but you knew that it wasn't leading to him playing immediately. So in the case of Zay Flowers, you know, whether he's starting or whether he's, you know, just playing, I mean, he's going to play a lot. And you know, for someone his size, which, you know, he's 5'9", 182 pounds listed. You know, I don't know if he's actually 182 pounds, but the difference between him and Marquise Brown is he plays bigger and tougher. And I wasn't even as down on Marquise Brown as a lot of fans and a lot of Ravens people, you know, or observers tended to be by the time he was traded. But he was just, you know, he's got a toughness to him that goes with, my goodness, just the speed and change of direction. I mean, he can just change on a dime, turn on a dime, and that's impressive. You know, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing him play. But as I said, I just want to see that start to show up a little more in 11-on-11, and might just be because of the plays they're calling and the progressions they're going through, and you know, we'll see that open up. I'll remind everyone, Marquise Brown went nuts in week one, his rookie year against Miami, and he barely even played in practice that summer. Yep. So, you know, even though the hype machine has kind of been out of control, maybe there is a little bit of an element of a rope-a-dope, a little bit in terms of when they get the full team, and then he's just going to go nuts once they line up against Houston September 10th. We'll see how it plays out, but high hopes for him. There's no question about that all through the building.
No, for sure. Well, I'll tell you what, we got to pay some bills. We got to keep the lights on, Luke. So we do want to talk about our sponsor real quick. Now, you said you're not a betting man, and that is no problem. But one of the things that Glenn says on the show is go with what you know. And, mm-hmm. I like that. So our partner is BetUS. DK has got a pretty cool graphic up here. If you guys don't know who BetUS is, BetUS is the OG when it comes to sports gambling and the guys with the biggest pockets ultimately, because they are giving you the best match at 125% match of your initial deposit up to $2,500. Use the link in the description to take advantage of that opportunity. And this is a new one that we just got sent to us today. Will any player break the passing record? 55 passing touchdowns. That's an interesting one.
An extra game. It's a passing league.
That's right. What do you think? What would you do there, Luke? Is that a no for you or a yes?
I think it's a no, because I think you've seen so many teams and defenses. We've seen them adjust the last couple of years, a little more zone, you know, a little more cover two. You know, we saw the Ravens do this so effectively against Joe Burrow, for example. We've seen teams do that. I don't want to say a lot better against Patrick Mahomes, because he's still Patrick Mahomes, but teams have done, you know, made some adjustments here and there with him. So I'll say no on that, but certainly an interesting bet there. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be intriguing, but there's all kinds of them. They got prop bets. They got
season bets. I mean, individual. Yes, anything right. You can imagine, you can gamble on at BetUS, and that matches on. I mean, that's 125% match is pretty awesome. So get over there.
Yeah.
Help us out. Use the promo code and get your money matched and then some.
That's right. Yeah. Join the club. We'll be doing some fun ones throughout the season. Make sure to join us.
Using BetUS since I was in high school. Well, no, I was out of high school.
Oh boy.
I was out of high school.
You bet you got some trouble over here, Glenn.
Exactly. I was out of high school, I swear. But yeah, go check out BetUS. Last one for me, Luke. I got to ask you about the pass rushers. They go hand in hand with this beat up cornerback room. All the hype surrounding Ajabo. I liked what I've seen recently from Owe. Not as mechanical looking a little more fluid, using some pass rushers, but as much as we heard hype from Ajabo, since he had that little nagging injury that kept him out, whereas one practice he even came fully suited but didn't participate, since then, and people have been hard on me, they're like, you guys are overreacting. I haven't been blown away. That's like, I haven't seen the burst. I haven't seen – that's what I'm looking for, the explosiveness. I saw him getting stuck in a left tackle's belly button in that first preseason game where he crashed in, gave up contain. I'm starting to get nervous about Ajabo, Luke. Am I crazy? Am I overreacting?
I mean, I don't know if I'm so nervous about Ajabo. I'm just kind of nervous about the group collectively. I mean, I think we saw – I mean, let's take Adafe Owe. His first 5-6 games of his rookie year, I mean, he looked like he was going to be defensive rookie of the year. And then what happened? You know, teams adjust a little bit. You know, does he hit the proverbial rookie wall? Who knows? It's really tough to do. And I mean, these quarterbacks get the ball out so quickly in this day and age. That's why, you know, for me, I look at Matt Abike and that inside rush, how important that's going to be for them. But, you know, I wouldn't say I'm concerned about Ajabo. I think even in the preseason opener, you know, yeah, he got stuck, crashed inside a couple times. Mariota got out on third and long. You know, certainly you want to see him be disciplined with his rush lane integrity there. But, you know, he also showed strong hands. I think he, you know, to a man, and I'm not a pass rush guru, but you do hear people who are a little more nuanced in really following that, that he has, you know, some pretty polished move for someone who doesn't have a ton of experience. I mean, he had one full year at Michigan where he really played and got him on the radar. I think that's where everyone kind of forgets when he was going to be a first round pick before he tore his Achilles at his pro day. There was still a sentiment that he was still going to be green and still be someone that was raw. So he's just missed a lot of time. So I can't say I'm overly concerned, but, you know, I think for me, it's because my expectations aren't through the roof. You know, I think you'd love it if he'd be a 14 sack guy, but if I'm going to bet on that, you know, and I'm sure there's a bet with BetUSA whatever, you know, I'm probably not going to be that. So, but can he be a guy that gets better as the year goes on? I think something that I think is understated as far as their outside linebacker situation, their pass rush situation, is Tyus Bowser being out. You need guys who can set the edge. You're going to have to identify another linebacker and it sounds like Bowser's going to be ready for the start of the season. I mean, I asked Harbaugh about this a few days ago, and there's no public concern about that yet, but okay, he's still not practicing, and it's second half of August at this point. So who's that Sam linebacker that can drop into coverage for you? I don't know who that is right now. It's probably Malik Harrison, which
– Kyle Van Noy.
It could be Kyle Van Noy. I mean, Jadeveon Clowney's great against the run, you know, and certainly the door's still open there. But I'm just my overall concern isn't with any individual. And look, I think Chuck Smith was such an intriguing hire. I'm fascinated to see what Owe looks like in year. Is he going to be a dude or not? You know, is he going to be a guy that you're going to be looking to re-sign in a couple years, or is he going to be a guy that, you know, is not a bust, but underwhelming, let's say. And Ajabo, you know, he's essentially still a rookie. You know, I'll buy that because of just how much practice time he missed. I mean, he wasn't able to really get to the point where he was practicing until like late October last year. So missed all spring, all summer, all training camp. So, you know, I like those guys, but you know, who else
what
is
about
playing
Malik
for
Ham,
them?
Luke? Because I think Malik Ham's been showing something.
He's done a nice job. He's got a nice, I mean, we saw the spin move for the sack. I saw that back in spring ball. And now, granted, it was against a third string offensive lineman, but he had all the veteran defensive players on the sideline hooping and hollering about that. Do I think he's going to make the 53-man roster? Probably not, because I fully expect that they're going to sign a veteran here. They almost have to.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't think Tavius Robinson's going to be ready to be much more than maybe a 10-snap-a-game kind of guy, at least early on, you know, which you expect from a fourth-round rookie. But, you know, I think Ham's interesting. I certainly think he's a guy that, at the very least, they're going to want on the practice squad. So, you know, I mean, he's a rookie free agent. I unless he has such a monster last couple preseason games, you know, I think you probably can get him through waivers and not have an issue there. But he's intriguing. And, yeah, hey, it's a cool story. A Baltimore native, went to City. Yeah. You know, it's pretty cool in that regard. So, but of those, you know, of those rookie free agents, you know, I spent time talking about Keaton Mitchell. You know, he's another guy that, you know, if you're going to have me put together a short list of guys that, depending on health, injuries, other moves, whatever happens, you know, he's another guy that I think is certainly a name of interest, and he's had himself a nice summer where he's flashed at least enough to garner some attention.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it turns out for him. He could be a Michael Pierce 2.0 type guy where one of these last few games of preseason he decides to make some incredible plays and forces himself on the roster by one way, shape, or fashion. But Luke, we had an absolute blast with you tonight, man. Hopefully you did as well. We're so grateful for you coming out and spending
time. I'll just say it now on the show. We really asked a lot from you tonight, Luke. I appreciate you being so cool. You stayed with us for so long.
Yeah.
And look, it is a known trick of ours that when we get a new guest, we'll say just 5 minutes. That's all we're asking for, 5 minutes. When really we're asking for more. But I swear, Luke, that was not the intention. But we were just, I mean, things were going well. And so I appreciate you spending so much time with us.
Well, you know, I'm a radio guy. We like to talk. So, you know, but it was fun. I felt bad because I was late hopping on with you because I had a browser issue. And then I needed my password for Facebook. And yeah, that's why I was late. Yeah, but a technology issue for
Luke's
for
really calling the lineman to like get a new line out to the pole. He's calling Ron Swanson out there to fix the
cable. That's actually what it was. My dial up, like AOL. hey, wait a second. I mean, this was 8 o'clock. That was always busy time for trying to get online. Right. You know, the number was busy, so I couldn't get logged in.
That's hilarious. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much, man. We had a great time. Hopefully, we'll see you out there again, and hopefully have you on the show again. But we appreciate it. We'll let you get back to the family, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great. I enjoyed it, guys. And
plug, please. Sorry. I apologize. Plug, please.
All good. You can follow me on Twitter or X or whatever the heck they're calling it these days, at Baltimore Luke, BaltimorePositive.com, and at WNST. You can check out my work there. And Ravens, Orioles, you know, plug the Orioles as well. They'll be back next week, and I'll be doing double duty. This is my busy time of year, but good busy when you're talking about two teams with such high expectations. So, but yeah, you can check that out at BaltimorePositive.com.
Awesome. Thanks again, Luke. Have a great night.
Take care, guys. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Thanks, Luke. Yep. Yeah, man, the Orioles definitely have to bounce back after, you know, losing 2 out of 3 in San Diego. But, you know, I appreciate Luke spending so much time with us talking all Ravens football. I mean, he answered pretty much any relevant question that you could have had about the Ravens in depth. So Shout
and
to
I like
Lou.
How he, yeah, I like how you put camp in perspective too. This is kind of how it goes, right? Like, there's ups and downs, there's injuries, there's guys that stand out, but ultimately, like, you know, let's wait till the season starts and the rubber meets the road, right? Yeah. Because that's when the cream rises to the top.
And look, that's why we have on a guy who's been doing it for 15 years not a fresh faced rookie who may overreact to some camp situations.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Yeah. So yeah, like you said, shout out to Luke. So grateful to have him out here. But I think that's it for us as well, right?
Yeah, but I mean, look, you probably will be seeing us in the near future. I expect some signings in the next few days. I think they'll add edge. I think they'll continue to add to the cornerback room.
Yep.
So yeah, hit the notification bell. Of course, click the subscribe button so we can keep you up to date on all your Ravens news and get you ready for that September 10th first week matchup against the Houston Texans. Absolutely cannot wait. Can't come soon enough, but that's it for us tonight. See you.
See ya.